So it's really, I'm a poor, poor substitute for Pastor Art Cole. Really am poor. Wish he was here preaching to us. Let's turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. And I'm going to read a lot, so actually Genesis chapter number 4. And I'm going to read to you. So if you get there, just follow on. I'll start in verse 1. The Bible tells us, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Methuselah, or Methujahel, or something like that, and begot something else, somebody else, and they all got begotten there. So let's pray before we get confused with that part. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. We thank you that it's alive and it's living. Lord, it comes out to us. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, please dwell upon this place as we speak. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as a clay, as your vessel. Lord, may it proceed out of my mouth what you only want me to say. And Lord, keep things that you don't want me to say. Lord, I pray that you have control in the hearts of every children, Lord, downstairs, as Brother Sam preaches to them. And Lord, I pray that you'd open their hearts, open our hearts here today, Lord, as adults. And I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Please help us, Lord, with this. Lord, it's every problem of the heart is the heart, Lord, and that's the problem. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know the story very well. I just read it to you. Some of you guys got very good minds, and you just understand what I just read. And I don't have to read it again, right? Good. But anyways, there's a part in there when God pronounces judgment on the man called Cain. I'm going to talk about Cain today. And the title of my message is A Hateful Heart. Now, it doesn't sound good, but it might help us today. A hateful heart. And Cain, of course, did what he did with his brother. And because his sacrifice was not accepted by God, and Abel was. And so he developed something inside of him that some of us develop. And we'll talk about that. However, Cain received a punishment from the Lord. And we read that here earlier. And it says, Behold, thou hast driven me out of this. No, actually, in verse number 11, let me read it again. And now art thou cursed from the earth. That's what God said. Which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. That's what God said. God said this, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's what God said. And then Cain said something. And look at what Cain said. He added to God's punishment to him. God didn't say this. This is what Cain said. Look at what he said. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. God didn't say that. God did not say that at all. That was him saying that. I think when we, you know, when you were a little kid, and you got in trouble, I'm going to mark my place, and you got in trouble, and you are caught red-handed, and you can't get away with it, and your mama said something to you, and thus it pronounced your punishment. Either you get grounded, or like I did with my mom, she spanked me anywhere she could find. That's where she hit. And so that's why I messed up a little bit. But anyways, not my mother here. My mother in the Philippines, not here. Don't blame her for anything that happened to me. But anyways, you know when they say something to you and you like what you did, you so like what you did, that when he punished you for doing that, you get mad. I know you guys don't do that, but I get mad. When I do something wrong and I get caught and I get punished for it, I'm mad. How? And then I add to my punishment. You notice you always do that? You twist what they say. Like you can't go out to your friends today. Well, that means I can do this. That means I can't do this. That means I can't do this. I mean, that's not what they said. You can't do this particular thing, but you add to your punishment. You know what that is from? It's from a little problem in the heart called bitterness. We do that with God all the time. Did you know that? We do that with God all the time. And I'll explain that here in a minute. But we do that. In our hearts, we get bitter, we get mad, and we don't take care of it. We don't go to God. We keep it inside. It becomes a grudge, and it becomes a root of bitterness. You know, Cain, because of his offering not being accepted, got mad. And when God punished them, and said, this is your punishment because of what you did. Of killing, not because of not sacrificing, right? God could give him another chance. But that was not his problem. He could have made a sacrifice. But the problem, he had something in his heart that was wrong. And because of that, he didn't deal with it. He kept it there. He kept it there. He didn't deal with it. And so when God told him, finally confronted him, he was mad. And he added to his own punishment. And is this what he says? From thy face I shall be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Did God say that? Did God say that when he told them what his punishment was? Did God say that everybody's going to find you and try to kill you? Why did he say it then? He was mad. He was bitter. I didn't get accepted, but my brother did. And we'll talk about that. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slay, and God said, wait a minute. Nobody's going to do that. I'll take care of it. If somebody kills you, they're going to be in trouble sevenfold. But that's what happens to bitter people. When you know who you are and you have sinned, and you get caught for what you have done, you develop either a gratefulness for that person that caught you doing wrong, or you develop a bitterness. And when you develop a bitterness, you stay away from that person. I shall be hidden from you, God. Fine, if that's how you feel about it, and walked away. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's what he did. And that's what we'll do if we let that root of bitterness grow inside of us. Number one, bitter towards God. We can see Cain as bitter towards God. Genesis 4:6, it said that. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrought? And why is thy countenance fallen? You know, the Bible tells us, you don't have to turn there, Hebrews 12, and verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness bring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Cain was angry at God because God did not accept his sacrifice. You know, a bitter person often has this too, discontentment with almost anything in their life. Look, looking at people that have bitterness in their hearts towards others and God, we can see that discontentment is present in their lives. They're not happy with what God has provided them. Give me an illustration. I go street preaching in the street. I never preach in a Sunday morning service, so this is kind of new for me. But when I go street preaching, I often meet homeless people. In Austin, it's a very nice weather, and temperature-wise, a lot of homeless people gather there. And they ask for a particular amount of money. They ask you, for money. Normally, they don't ask you for $100. They don't ask you for $50. They don't ask you to do those things. They might ask you something like this. Can I get a dollar, please? That's what they'll ask you. So, this one guy asked me, can I have a dollar? And sometimes I give it out, and sometimes I don't. But this time, I didn't give it out, but I asked him a question. And I said, I challenged their request by saying, I have $5. And I tell them that if they want it, I'll give it to them. They would normally say yes, even though they wanted $1. But if I tell them I have five, sure, they'll take it. And I tell them if they want, I will give it to them, right? I've been increasing it. I go up to $100. Sometimes I have $100 in my pocket, sometimes I don't. But this time I did. And then I asked them what they would rather have, $1 or $100. And then I asked them which one you would get, right? Which was what they say they needed in the first place, $1. That's what they needed in the first place. They came up to me asking for $1. And since I have $100 and I wanted to give it to them, they all of a sudden wanted $100. So I proceed to tell them, I said, you don't really need $1, don't you? You don't. They don't need $1. So I explained to them that they really need, they want $100. And I used that illustration to tell them that your flesh is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. What happened if I told them, hey, I can give you $100? And then he finds out I got $1,000. What would you rather have, $100 or $1,000? You'll never get satisfied. That's a simple illustration I use. Your flesh will never satisfy. It wants more than it really needs. You know, I also present the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we can quench the spiritual thirst and fill their spiritual hunger. But they don't want nothing to do with that. They don't do nothing to do with that. Hey, I'll give you $1 if you listen to me. They won't do that either. They don't want that. The Bible tells us to be content. Discontentment. If you're looking to your flesh to be satisfied, sorry, but it'll never happen. It'll never happen. In your flesh, there is no contentment. You, as a young girl, you always want to be skinnier. You always want to be prettier. As a young man, you always want to have a better job, a nicer car. As an adult, you want a better retirement plan. As a father, you want your kids to come back because you disappointed them or wasn't there when they needed you most, and now when you need them, you expect them to come back to you. Discontentment. Discontentment. You guys never satisfied. Discontentment. First, the Bible tells in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul is talking. Paul was a Roman citizen. He had a business building tent. There were some times he made a lot of money, maybe in the fair time, like we have here. I don't know if they had fairs then, but maybe they did. He made a lot of money building tents, probably. He said, I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. That's in the same passage. I'm not reading it to you. But that's what he said. He knew that. He knew how to be rich. He knew how to be poor. He knew how to have a lot of weight to carry around because he ate a lot like I do now. Or he knew how to not eat. You know, in the Philippines, it's hard. It tests your faith, even though you're not safe, to where the next meal is going to come. Here, you don't worry about that. You worry about what kind of food you're going to eat the next time. But I know, and like Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. And be content with it. Hey, I'm content wearing a suit. I never dreamed I was going to wear one of these. I never dreamed I was going to be in a pulpit right here. I never dreamed of any of those things. But I'm content now. Hey, I'm not going to go back where I was. But when I was over there, I need to be content. But whatever state I am, I'm in the state of New York, I need to be content. 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content. You know, discontentment. Somebody that's bitter has discontentment. They have pride. People that have bitterness in their heart have pride. The root of all sin is pride. Pride is involved in every sin. When people become bitter towards God, they begin to think that they deserve more than what they currently have. People should treat them better than they are being treated right now. Most people that are bitter at God and others do not understand their own sinfulness and wickedness. The truth is that we deserve to go to hell right now. We are all in life support. God holds us, our breath, in his hand. If God decides to pull the plug on you this second, we deserve it. That doesn't sound good, but that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. We deserve to die. Pride only leads to destruction, and God resists the proud. And where do you know that? The Bible tells us, but he that giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:6. Proverbs 16:11, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves one to another. It's hard for an adult to submit to a young person, especially if that person is right and they're wrong. If that younger person is right, telling them the truth, it's hard for them to submit. Because they say this, I'm older than you. I've been around this world 4 or 5 times than you have been. But that's not the point. The Bible's been here 1,500 years. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. Okay, let's go on. Religion often is accompanied with pride. False religion is man-made. True Christianity is God-breathed. You know what the Bible tells us, Ephesians 2:8-9? Let any man should boast. Nobody's going to boast in heaven and say, I got here because I'm so good. Cain was the first man to start a religion. Did you know that? He knew how to properly sacrifice to the Lord. His parents, no doubt, have taught him. His brother knew what to sacrifice and how to sacrifice it. Abel did. He decided to please God by presenting to him his good work. Religion is man's way of getting to heaven aside from God. Religion is an insult to what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. If man could pay for his own sin, then why did Christ have to die on the cross? By the way, if man is powerful enough to clean himself of his sins, then surely he's powerful enough to stop sinning. Or better yet, not sin at all. And the problem is, we don't have the power. We don't have the power to cleanse our sins. We don't have the power to stop. If I'm not up here right now, I might be thinking of a bad thought sitting right there. There is only one way to sacrifice to God, the shedding of innocent blood. God made the first sacrifice after Adam and Eve sinned. They covered themselves with fig trees, picture of religion. But God killed an innocent lamb to cover them. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. John 14:6. He was the innocent lamb of God that was sacrificed for our sins, the sins of the whole world. Are you bitter? Do you think you deserve more? Do you have pride in your heart? Are we bitter towards others? Maybe you're not bitter at God, but you have a grudge against somebody else. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, our righteousness is filthy rags in God's eyes. But we're not covered by our own righteousness to go to heaven. We're covered by the righteousness of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. His blood was shed to wash away our unrighteousness and our righteousness. For our righteousness cannot get to heaven. It falls short. But the righteousness of God is spotless, without blemish. It's powerful to forgive of our sins and to give us a place in heaven. Look at here. It's not time to look at somebody else. It's not time to play around. You look at what God has to say. We're too busy looking at the person next to us than paying attention to our sins. They have problems. I have problems. I'm preaching up here. I have problems. But I'm not looking to this person right here to see what his problem is. I came to church to get my problems taken care of. I'm not looking at this person. Oh, he's not wearing the right kind of his dress. For crying out loud. For crying out loud. Look at yourself. Look at yourself for once and see who you really are. Stop looking at the person around next to you. Jealousy. You know what he had? Jealousy. Because of his bitterness. He was discontentment. He got prideful. And now he was jealous. Look. The sin of envy was also found in the heart of Cain. He was jealous that the Lord received his brother's sacrifice gladly, and he was rejected. Anger over someone's success. It's sad that Christians are that way. When somebody gets successful, we get mad. In fact, the human race is that way. Half of us don't like Walmart. I mean, I might be here, but because they're successful. That's the only reason sometimes we get mad at them, because they're successful. And we get mad at a Christian brother because nobody says anything bad about them. Maybe because they're doing something that's right. That's why nobody's saying bad things about them. To tell you the truth, everybody says bad things about each and every one of us. They just don't say it to us. Everybody says bad things. The sin of envy was found in his heart. He was angry. He was mad because his brother did better than he did. People do not like hearing how other people are better than they are. In fact, we do not mind when people tell us how we are the best. Are we really the best? The Bible warns us of anger. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. King Saul was so jealous over David that he wanted him killed. Why? Because he did better. By the way, bitter people be. They're jealous over other people's success. They're angry over that. Plus, they don't have empathy. When somebody's not doing too good and they're doing a little bit better, they don't take time to take care of the people that are doing bad. Empathy. Empathy is rejoice and mourn for and with people. Sympathy is good. I like sympathy. All I have to say is, I'm sorry, and don't feel anything about it. Empathy is when I'm feeling what they're feeling. Baron Elegant's mom died. I can't imagine what happens if my mom dies. I won't imagine how would that feel. I better help him out. Proverbs 24:17. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Don't be glad when somebody that you don't like falls down. Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice with them. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. When's the last time you shut up your mouth when somebody's telling you a good story? Like they got promoted. Instead of you saying, oh, I remember when I got promoted. Shut your mouth and listen to what they have to say and rejoice with them for once. Instead of putting yourself up above a gimmick. Won't you just say, wow, that's a good job, brother. That's a good job, sister. Why don't you just shut your mouth sometimes? It helps. I need to do that myself. Rejoice with him that rejoices. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. If we realize we're really a body, not just a congregation, we're just not a social group that meets together on a Sunday morning to discuss how our golf swing is doing so good, and our basketball team is on the top, the Spurs. I hope they won, I didn't pay attention. But Longhorns are doing so great. And really go and look at somebody else and say, I'm feeling what you're feeling. I'm going to help you, not just praying. Hey, it's good to do this. I'm going to pray for you, brother. God bless you. That's not going to fill up my tank and my gas can. Sometimes give a little of those green things that we put in our pockets. That'll help. That'll help. Do you do that? We should be feel honored when our pastor gets to speak somewhere, or when our brother right here, Miss Kelly, gets a doctorate, Mr. Lewis. We should be honored. We're among smart people. Because I'm surely not smart. I should be honored. I'd be glad. Oh, you just got that because. Wonder people don't like you. Wonder people don't like you. It's hard to like a jealous person. It's hard to like an angry person. It's like to like a proudful person. It's hard. It surely is hard to like them. It's really hard because it's all about them. When you do something right, that's no big deal. I did better than you. Not only was this his problem, he was also a busybody. A busybody. Jealous people like to talk about people that are better than they are. They try to cut them down and build themselves up. God told us specifically to speak evil of no man. Gossiping is not right. Pastor told you that, and I'm going to back him up. Gossiping is not right. If there's any sin in the church that involves every single person, it's probably gossiping. 1 Peter 4:15, and let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's business matters. Suffer as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer in a busybody. You're grouped with murderers. You're grouped with thieves. You're grouped with evildoer as a busybody. The tongue is powerful. It can kill or it can give life. You know that? You can steal somebody's honor by saying something that you know about somebody else, but you can't prove. You saw them do something, and so you make up in your mind, oh, that's what they're doing. I'm smart. I can figure it out. They went to this place, so that means they're going to do this. And when they're done with that, maybe they're going to do this. How do you know? How do you know? Huh? How do you know? You're destroying people's lives. If I see a pastor do something, I'm going to shut my mouth. And would you like that or not? Fine. I would shut my mouth. If I saw a pastor doing something that was wrong for your benefit and for our benefit as a church, I'll shut my mouth. Not say one thing. Oh, I'm not going to say I'm going to pacify sin. I'm not saying that. When you don't know what's happening, shut your mouth. It's none of your business. If your name is not mentioned in a conversation, don't say anything. Man, I'm in big trouble with this. God told us specifically to speak evil of no man. Gossiping is not right. Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no man, to be no growlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. He's saying that the Bible is wrong and judgeth the law. But if thou the judge, but thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there's where we come. Are we really the judge? Are really the police officer of the church? The last time I know, it wasn't one of the boards of hirees. You can't get an opportunity to be a police officer. There's nothing on the board that says that. Pastor, don't go up and says, we need a police officer. Anybody can do that? In fact, he said, we probably need a bus driver. We need somebody to go soul winning. We need to do this. Can somebody help that? Can we need a bus driver, please? Please, 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 please. He probably doesn't say it like I did, but he says it in the same similar way. He doesn't say, hey, can you watch the brother over here, please? Watch. Don't pay attention to anything that's going on. You watch every single move she makes, and if she makes a mistake, you come up to me and tell me. And I'm going to preach about it. Is that what pastor does? That's not what pastor does. Come on, guys. We're in the body together. If somebody hurts here, it's my responsibility to help. Because if their name gets drugged, it might as well my name be drugged. Did you know that? Do you really feel that way? If Brother Korsky's name get drugged, it might as well my name be drugged. Did you know that? That's what God wants us to be. That's what God wants us to feel about each other. All right, I'm on the last page. Perfect. You get to shoot me later. Hurtful towards others. Hurtful towards others. That's what Cain was. Helpful, hurtful towards others. Cain's jealousy towards Abel turned into hatred. His hatred ended in the murder of his own brother. His own brother. Genesis 4:8-10. I'm not going to read it, but it's there. That's when he murdered his brother. Hatred in God's eyes is the same as murder. We know that. Matthew 5:21-22. Let me read it to you. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Yes, I know that. I'm a Pharisee. I know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. And look at what he said to them. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, thou shalt be in danger of hellfire. But whosoever is angry with his brother is in danger, the same judgment that the murderer gets. Don't think you're a lot better than the prisoners. I am not better than the prison. In fact, I can preach a lot harder to them and not worry about them coming back to me and say, you said that? I can't believe you. Why do you say it that way? I don't have to worry about that in prison. In fact, they come up to me and said, man, you're going to preach harder next time. I said, man, I don't know any other preach. Our hatred hurts others around us. It surely does. Can you not see that? That your anger hurt other people? Are you too blind? Are you too arrogant not to admit that? That your pride hurts people? That your bitterness hurts others around you? And more like that, it hurts you. It hurts you. And then, as a process of this, he was bitter. He got discontented. He was prideful. And then he was jealous over his, and he was angry at people. He had no empathy. He was a busybody. Sad to say, this would happen. All of that, and he went away from God. Away from God, he went. As a result of being towards God and jealous towards Abel, which resulted in murder, Cain was removed from the presence of God by his own choice. Remember that. It's your own choice to leave God. It's not him. He never makes you leave him. Those that come to him, he'll never forsake nor cast down. It's you that leave. Did God say that? No, that's what Cain said. I'll be hid from your face. That's what God said. I'll be out of your presence. That's not what God said. God doesn't give us punishment to kill us. Did you know that? God doesn't give us preacher to humiliate us. God doesn't give us the word of God that goes hard on sin so that we feel so bad. That's not the purpose of preaching. Did you know that? I sound like I'm a mean fella, but I'm preaching it myself. This is what it is. Give me an illustration of what preaching is. It's just like this. I'm not going to touch this because that man up there is going to talk to me. But pretend this was a barbed wire fence and you want it to be straight, but it's all the way over here. Can you just bend it right in the middle and it'll be staying there? What will happen to it? Bing! You have to bend it far, far, far to where you want it so it'll go back. And that's what preaching is supposed to do. I'm not here because I'm mad at you. I'm not saying what I'm saying because I'm better than you. That's far. That's far from what I'm saying. We need this. Some of us have bitterness in our heart. And so I'm not killing people. I'm not out of church. I'm in church. Busybodies are in church. Jealous people normally are in church. Hypocrites are normally in church. You know that? And that's why God's here. You know, the Bible tells us that Satan takes his seat in the synagogue. I don't think we're that good for Satan to be sitting right there. By the way, he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. So don't think twice that Satan is making you do things. He probably is not even here. Maybe his minions are here. He's not omnipresent. The devil doesn't know what's going to happen in the future. He doesn't know that unless he reads the Bible. He's reading the Bible. Did you know that? The devil's faithful reading his Bible because he knows what's going to happen, and he's going to try to find a loophole in this Bible. He's not omnipresent. Don't always be scared of the devil. He's not even around here probably for 300 miles. He might be somewhere else in Europe, maybe taking a vacation because we're doing a good job ruining ourselves. Away from God. Away from God. Somebody's going to come and play, right? An invitation song. I guess we're not going to play an invitation song. But everybody stand up. Everybody stand up.